둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from County Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK, Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sounds, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Big hello to all the subscribers. Thank you so much for checking out this series as we release new episodes multiple times every single week. It's a lot. It's the best way to keep up with your favorite artists. You know that. I appreciate you listening. And if you're not a subscriber, we're about to get started. So go ahead and do that. All of your friends are subscribed already. Hit the button wherever you're listening from on your preferred listening device. Just hit subscribe and we'll deliver this to your eardrums multiple times every single week. Of course, you can also give this series a rating and a review. Those are always super helpful. Always appreciated. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, the band Post Animal. I'm going to be talking with Jake Hirschland about their brand new record called Forward Motion Goddessy. It's an interesting title that they get to play around with the meanings with. In fact, I'm going to ask him about lyrics. You know, the lyrics that can be a bit mysterious sometimes. And that's, as Jake will tell you, intentional. We'll hear how important it is for him, for us to understand those lyrics too, as well as the importance of mystery in music for an artist. We'll hear about recording the record in Big Sky, Montana. Now, the last time on their very first record, there was some ghost stories that came along with it. So did the hauntings follow them? You got to tune in for that one as well. And as Jake will tell you, it's an album with extremes. from pop songs to deep psychedelic songs and everything in between. What are the boundaries, if there are any? And how do the shared experiences of a band kind of bring it all into the lyrical concepts? It's an interesting trick that two songwriters can be writing in totally separate rooms, but after spending all their time together, they come around and look at that, they've written about the same stuff. That's a fun little story that gets in this record as well. We'll also hear a bit how house music has influenced one of the singles and their tour. Catch 'em on tour in February in the UK, opening up for Cage the Elephant, a band from right down the road from us here in Louisville. In fact, they spent a lot of time with White Reaper as well, which from Louisville right here. So, of course, I've got to ask about that stuff. Let's get into it. It's about the record Forward Motion Goddessy. It's Kyle Meredith with Post Animal.
Hey, my name's Jake. I'm calling from Post Animal.
Forward Motion Goddessy. Am I saying that right? The play on the Odyssey with
yeah,
the Goddessy?
You got it.
It's a seriously cool title that I don't understand at all, but I like it.
Well, hopefully the music illuminates some of the meaning of the title. We're trying to dance around telling people exactly what we think about it as to not kind of corrupt the process of people figuring it out on their, you know, figuring out what it means to them. But,
yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of, you know, I think it's perplexing intentionally.
That seems to be a little bit of the MO. I mean, even when I get into the lyrics of this record and I hear the way you all talk about it, like, how important is it for you that I understand the lyrics?
I would say, personally, it's important for me that you understand the lyrics in your own way. It's not necessarily crucial that you understand the lyrics in the way that I understand the lyrics. Does that make sense?
So for you, like, the lyrics don't necessarily have to tell a story?
I think some of the lyrics do tell a story, and I think some of them tell a pretty clear story. But I think it's different for every song. I would say, like, there's some songs that have a more, broad meaning that can be applied to many different things. And then there are some songs that we tried to hit a certain nail on the head, and, you know, with the lyrics. So it's not necessarily all completely open to interpretation, but, you know, we've made the mistake in the past of kind of giving a little bit too much information, I think. And I think we all kind of agreed going into the promotion of this record that we felt the best about not sort of stepping on listeners' toes and letting people figure things out as they please, because everyone's going to have their own unique connection to the music. And for all of us, it's more fun when we listen to music and are able to not sort of, you know, lyric genius everything and, like, know exactly what the artist meant by it. So, yeah, like, just leaving some room for, like, listeners to engage with the music by coming up with inserting some of their own meaning, I guess.
Now playing that other side of that, and you talk about the danger of that. Have you had those moments in your own life where you had connected to a song and learning about it later, did that destroy it for you? Is that what you're worried about with how it's perceived, that telling the real thing sort of takes something away from the listener?
Yeah, I think I've definitely had moments. It's hard to think of one specifically, but, you know, I think especially in the internet age where a lot of people, there's a lot of videos of people unpacking things and talking about the process of making a song or writing lyrics, and, like, that stuff is everywhere online, and it's really easy to kind of take a lot of the mystery out of the writing of modern music that you love, which is, I'm not trying to say that those are bad pieces of content on the internet or anything like that. Like, I think we all love to dive into our favorite artists online and find out, you know, where they were at when they were working on something. So, yeah, I guess maybe, like, danger is too harsh of a word, but it's just kind of, we just made the choice that we would rather leave some unknowns, at least for the beginning, you know, mm-hmm. while people are familiarizing themselves with stuff. And, you know, like, we'll talk with people about what we think about the lyrics, and everything comes from a place of honesty and is based on real events or thoughts and feelings. But, yeah, I guess, like, we just don't want to put out some concise, like, track breakdown
right.
thing, or talk about, like, you know, the specific whatever that caused every single part of every single song, you know?
Well, I think mystery.
More of an adventure.
Yeah, I mean, mystery is so important. I mean, so I completely agree with you on all that. And actually being successful, having mystery successfully in 2020, in the digital age, however you want to say that, I mean, it's a difficult thing to do. you know, from the band's point of view and your image to, you know, more specifically like the songs we're talking about. I mean, I do find that somehow Post Animal has been able to keep an air of mystery about them.
Yeah, we've kind of gone back and forth. You know, we sometimes like to be vague and off in our own universe and putting things out there that are completely strange and obscure. But and then other times we'll put out like a piece of internet content that's like very, very honest and not that flattering. I think we kind of like to play with a little bit of both, because we don't take ourselves all that seriously. We don't take ourselves seriously enough to think that our world needs to be some big mystery to everyone all the time. But I think we definitely like to play with the mystery and play with the medium of Instagram or the medium, like play with YouTube and see, like, you know, ways that we can like use mystery to have a little fun or create a more nuanced experience for people who are enjoying our music or not enjoying it or whatever, you know.
Well, jumping into a little bit of the details and at least the background on some of this, you know, you had mentioned like knowing where the band did it. So Big Sky, Montana just happens to be the scene for this one.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I was going back and reading some of the stuff from the previous record and everything, and I ran across some stories about during that recording experience having some hauntings and ghostly moments. And I was just wondering if that followed you at all to this new album.
You know, I wish I could say that something happened. I'm a ham for, you know, playing up a ghost story if it's there. But it's honestly no hauntings at this place. We saw a lot of wildlife. There was some mystical behavior around us, and, you know, seeing like pine martens and moose and stuff. It was cool. It was striking and magnificent, but nothing spooky, unfortunately.
So it wasn't like a ghostly moose, anyway. Just a moose.
No, just a big old moose.
Those are some fun stories. I know some of our listeners won't know anything about that. You don't have to go too deep because I know it's been talked about. But that was sort of what followed you on the first record, right?
Yeah. No, it was very unexpectedly intense experience out there for some of us. And then also there was a sort of tale that followed it with a lot of weird things occurring after we recorded the record, learning about the history of the lake that we, or the supernatural history of the lake that we recorded at, talking to some members of the family who owned that house that we recorded Castle at, and some of their experiences. There was someone with some experience as a medium who entered the story and corroborated the feelings that we had had. It was pretty crazy, but it was something that a lot of people were curious about afterwards too.
Well, it's kind of fun to hear, you know, you talk about how environment kind of works itself in to kind of have those moments and then go back to listen to that record sort of in that context, you know. But you know, kind of shifting to the next one though, I mean, so that does present the scene. I mean, Big Sky, Montana is its own kind of thing, you know, spookiness aside. I mean, you're talking like, you know, the environment there had to have some kind of effect on what you all were doing. Was that the case?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think scenically it had an effect, a strong effect. But yeah, like the layout of the house that we were working on the record in was just, it made its way into the music, undoubtedly. We were recording in a large room for the most part that was a two-story room with a balcony. Like, the second story was a balcony, and we positioned the guitar amps all, like, up and down and across the room, and we were able to place microphones in strange places and very high places to capture all sorts of room tone that was bouncing around this high ceiling. And then on top of that, just these massive windows that were facing the mountain range that we were nestled into, and these, you know, bright pink sunsets every single day, clear, like bright blue skies. And we were recording facing out these windows. And yeah, I think it affected the playing. It affected the quality of the recording. And definitely the space encouraged a little bit of extra invention, just because we had never recorded in a place like this. And we always do everything with friends or mostly on our own. This time we brought some friends who are engineers to help us engineer the thing. But so, you know, we've always done some version of DIY recording. So it was fun to kind of have this exciting new space influence our process the way that it did.
In your type, I mean, your music sounds like it allows for a lot of experimentation. Do you have that while you're actually making the record, or is everything pretty much set in stone? I mean, can you guys still sit around and play and jam or whatever when you're actually doing the recording?
We do a lot of on the fly decision making. I would say that this record that's about to come out, Goddessy, has probably the least amount of site improv of anything, but it's still anything we've ever done. But it still has a lot of last minute changes, and we're always, you know, doing what we set out to do, and then finding ways to trip ourselves up and like complicate things for ourselves. So definitely, we're like blessed to be a sort of a amoeba of a group of musicians, and we feed off of each other, and we have. Very fleeting attention spans, and sometimes someone will do something in the moment that we just all fall in love with, and that becomes the focus, and we go down a rabbit hole for a little while. And I think we're creating a kind of music that opens its arms very widely to that kind of behavior.
Yeah. Well, the attention spans, I mean, especially that seems like that might account for, as you all have been talking about, going to different extremes as far as, you know, two songs not exactly sounding anything like each other, from the, you know, more experimental and psychedelic side to the poppier side, maybe like we've heard with Schedule. I would wonder, though, is there ever a line in the sand? Are there boundaries that you won't cross? Like, you know what, we're not going that far down that hole, though.
Honestly, I mean, you know, Post Animal started as a country band, and then we became a psych rock band, and then we have sort of wiggled into this pop progressive thing. So I don't think we've ever had a precedent for giving ourselves boundaries. I think we're learning to identify what we want out of something before we go into creating a project now. So we're like, with this record, everything's very intentional, and we knew what we wanted to make, and we knew what we wanted each song to feel like, and the kind of, you know, the genres we wanted to play with. But in the process of deciding what we wanted, I would say that there were no restrictions, really. I mean, in the past also, we've kind of not even gone into things really knowing what we were looking for. And so we sort of found interesting stuff along the way. But this one definitely, there was, I guess you could say there were boundaries in the way that we went into it with a lot of intention, but I don't think that we would ever, you know, if someone wanted to make a pop country song, we would probably give it a shot. The idea was good enough, you know.
But being a band, I mean, you also have a lot of shared experiences. When you're putting this album together at the end of it, I mean, do you find that, you know, all these multiple ideas have a similar thread? I mean, that ends up being how, you know, lyrical concepts end up happening, especially when you have multiple songwriters. And I hear a lot of artists going, you know, we didn't even talk about that. It's not like we were trying to write that, but they do start blending together.
Absolutely. Everything we work on more and more, that we find that that's happening. I was struck by how much that was happening with this album, and when it came time to work on lyrics, like we did some of that together and some of that separately. But I don't think if I hadn't been there for the process, I don't think I would know what was done in collaboration and what was done in isolation. When you spend so much time with people and you share a life experience with them, you end up, you know, thinking about a lot of the same things, and, you know, a lot of your struggles and successes involve the other people that you spend your life with. So yeah, I think like we obviously have our unique perspectives, but everything's tied together because of this thing that we're doing all the time together, you know.
I do want to ask real quick about the, you know, the first track we got was Safe or Not with the parentheses extended mix. What does that differ from the album version that we're going to hear?
It's just there's a couple of sort of house music fans in the band, or I guess everyone likes it, but, you know, we were kind of borrowing from this sort of tradition within electronic music of kind of, you know, creating like one thing feels right and we want to make the concise version, but then there's also this jam that we worked on and that feels incorrect somehow to not put that out into the world. So yeah, it's, you know, there's an album version of Safe or Not, but the extended mix is it's the full breadth of the idea in one thing. And we just wanted to give it to everyone to check out, you know, what we imagine that song would be if it were, you know, 7 minutes long or whatever.
Now, when you do it live, do you go towards the 7 minute version more? I mean, is it or whatever? Do you let it expand like that?
Yeah, I mean, who knows what we're going to continue to do, but we've been playing the whole thing live. We're just kind of in phase one of playing a lot of this new material live. So things could change for sure, but our first instinct was to play the full extended mix, or a sort of adaptation of the extended mix. You could call it like live version.
Cool. I look forward to hearing it. And speaking of live, you know, I'll also mention you guys are out next month in the UK with Cage the Elephant, who are from our area here.
Yeah. Yes, they're at Bowling Green.
Bowling Green, that's right. Right down the road from us in Louisville. In fact, White yeah. Reaper, you guys have you guys are close with them, right? Which are, of course, from right here in Louisville.
Guys. Yeah.
So
they're amazing. The sons of your city.
we love those guys. Yeah. Both of those bands. That's really cool. So. Yeah. Sad that I won't be in the UK to catch those shows, unfortunately. So maybe
we'll see you down the road when we come down south for our tour.
Absolutely, Jake. It has been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time. I look forward to the full record here too.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, man. Take care.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
My thanks to Jake from Post Animal. The new Post Animal record is called Forward Motion Goddessy. And again, that tour, the next leg is in the UK in February with Cage the Elephant. And a big thanks to you for checking out the episode, making it all the way to the end here. If you're not already a subscriber, right before you get out of here, hit that subscribe button anywhere that you're listening from right now. That does include iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Acast, Podchaser, Stitcher, any of those places, wherever you get your favorite podcast from. Give the series a rating, leave a review, just a comment, say hi in the box, wherever you're listening from. I always love hearing from you in those moments there. And then after that, head to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews, too. Again, that's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound, they've got your music and film news. You can find me on social media, all the social medias, at Kyle Meredith. Same thing across the board there. That does it for this edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, I'm Jen, and I love horror movies.
I'm Mikey. I'm dead inside, and I also love horror movies.
And we really like to torture our friend Todd because he hates horror movies.
That I do. And that's why they call me the horror virgin.
That's the only reason we call him that.
I'm not. No other reasons at all.
Whatever. So every
week, we take him through the encyclopedia of horror, the good, the bad, the ridiculously Jack Frosts.
And then we make fun of it more. Or less.
Or explain its deceptive feminism.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. That's what I do. That's my thing.
And I'm the funny one. Our episodes drop on Monday, so check us out.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-FOR Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Assisted customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.